GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online instantly at LaughlinWolfingtonRealty.com. This is the George Hill Rick Tyler Show. This is the Newsmakers Hour. And George, he made special arrangements to wrangle the kids so he could be on the phone with us at this busy time of the morning. It's Patrick Woodcock. We know him as the president and CEO of the Maine State Chamber of Commerce. Let's talk Maine's economy, if we could, with you, Patrick Woodcock, president and CEO of Maine State Chamber of Commerce, before we dig into what's going on in Augusta and the paid family and medical leave. And it kind of sets the table as to what we can afford to do, what we cannot afford to do. 5 miles up, looking down, what do you see?
Well, exactly, Rick. You know, right now, I see it emerging a new chapter for the state's economy. And unfortunately, I don't think the public and policymakers are seeing the forecasts that are really emerging that, you know, really post-pandemic to the end of 2024, I would say the state really was middle of the pack for economic growth across the country, in migration, tourism dollars compared to other states was up. And as I look at the headwinds now, tourism, I look at the state budget, the forecast now for 25 and 26 is virtually no employment growth. And I look at those assessments and say, you know, the state really should be laser focused on the economy. And I really do not see it puncturing through. This is the time that we really should be laser focused on what are the ways to grow the economy, what are the ways to improve employment. And unfortunately, the policy making, you know, the legislature, you've spoken about a lot of it. It is an enormous amount of work. I would never use the term laser focused. There is an enormous piles of paper building up in Augusta that really is masking and obfuscating what we really should be focused on, and that's economic growth. That should be uniting Republicans and Democrats. And, you know, my prescription for that, housing. You know, we have become an unaffordable state. We absolutely need to start building more housing. We've been very focused on making adjustments to the state's paid family medical leave program. And the third topic that I don't think people are aware of is there is a pending bill. It was voted through the Judiciary Committee last Friday that would really limit using targeted marketing to reach customers. And all three of these, we're going to be doing a press event later today. All three of these really should be looked through the prism of ensuring that economic growth can continue in our state and really understand that we are at this new chapter, that there are a lot of risks for the state's economy.
We are going into the summer season here pretty quick. There's at least the questions of how successful it's going to be. Hopefully it's going to be okay. I've read different things. What's your view of it?
You know, I was very concerned back in February when it was unclear exactly where our bilateral relationship with Canada was headed. All the numbers and the anecdotes that I've seen thus far is it's been a fair season. That's going to break the bank for the state's economy. But I am concerned about, you know, are we going to get the level of spending when we get the tourism dollars in? It's not only the tourism visits, but how long are they staying? Are they going to be going out to restaurants, providing tips for people? And I am cautious. I think inflation, you know, we've seen this last couple of years, that really is starting to bite in, especially lower middle class household. So I am concerned about just what the overall spending rate will be from our tourism. So far, the tourism entrances, the number of visits has been solid. I was down in Old Orchard Beach last week, and you know, I think they feel a little bit more comfortable that the Canadian tourists will arrive. They've been very focused on what is the actual Canadian dollar exchange rate. That's a big component as well. But I think things have stabilized with our bilateral relationship with Canada, which is very important.
So you're keeping an eye on all of this and the economic features that are affecting how we are now and how Maine will stand moving forward. Do we think those gathered inside the State House understand or keeping an eye on these things when they debate issues like paid family and medical leave?
Well, unfortunately, the legislature, by design, really provides an opportunity for every bill, regardless of the merit, to have a hearing. And I think that just drains some of the focus of Augusta. They'll be working all day, starting at probably 10 o'clock. And, the bills that are on the calendar, on the schedule for what are consideration, I would say there are 5-10 really big issues for the economy, and they kind of get drowned out by all the small little bills that just have endless debate. For me, paid family medical leave, it really, we look at the 12 other states that have implemented it, and we think there's some best practices there that the state has really left out of our law, left out of our rulemaking. Some pretty practical elements. In Maine's program, you are eligible day one when you show up for a job for the paid family medical leave program. So you're starting a new job, you are eligible for 12 weeks. In other states, they have a limit that you have to be at the job for 4 weeks. We've recommended 120 days that then you can take the leave. And, I think these are just really pragmatic aspects of the program to make sure that it's utilized within the spirit of the paid family medical leave, that it protects people who are working to be able to care for loved ones. In addition, we've one thing I'm very concerned about, really a seasonal employer, small business that maybe makes their revenue 60-70% in 3 months' time. If you lose a key employee during that period, that can be devastating for a small business. I've talked to hotel owners who, when somebody leaves, they're the ones that's cleaning the rooms. They're the ones that's cleaning the bathroom. And they're very concerned that really if we start losing employees for 12 weeks during the summer months, that we're already on thin ice. So, we put a provision that for employers that are in seasonal economies, that they can work with the employee to make the leave work for the business and work for them. These are just pragmatic reforms. Unfortunately, this is the time of year where I think a lot of groupthink occurs. The caucuses are caucusing, and it's very hard to cut through. These are actually modest, pragmatic reforms to this program. I am concerned. I just, at the outset said, Maine's employment projections, are we going to have stagnant growth? And yet, May of next year, we're scheduled that really all employees will be eligible for 12 weeks of leave. It's going to put a lot of pressure on these businesses and a lot of pressure on the Maine economy. We should move forward with some pragmatic reforms that work for the economy, work for employees and employers.
I'm not sure that the lawmakers are listening, and I'm kind of taking a broad brush approach to it, but the attempt to repeal the program, what was 406, that lost. A bill to make it voluntary, that lost. To exempt farm workers in the Senate, that lost. The program is now underway. We're paying money in. Benefits start going out May 1st next year. Are the lawmakers listening?
I do think we certainly expected that paid family medical leave would be in effect at the conclusion of this legislative session. The question is, could we get some pragmatic changes? And we did, the Maine State Chamber, working with a number of business groups, worked with Democrats and Republicans to develop what we thought were reasonable changes. We never saw the numbers that the program would be overhauled or repealed. So we put forward, what are the best practices in other states? Only 12 states have put this forward, so it's a sliver of the country that has this. And unfortunately, when I look at Maine's program, we're a sliver within those 12 states of one of the more generous, expansive programs. main seasonal economy, we should really reflect those conditions in the program design. That's why we looked at enhancing this ability, a hardship provision that an employer can say, this is not going to work for my business. We need to develop a plan that works for this employee, but also my business plan. So we have had bipartisan legislation. We do expect votes as soon as today on these changes that makes it work for businesses, but also retains the benefits for those that I think within the spirit of the law, young households, caring for newborns, caring for elderly parents. I think we understand that spirit, but you know, making sure that we balance this to reflect the state of the Maine economy. And unfortunately, you know, that's why we're bringing attention with a media event today. That really, I think it is important for the state's economy to make these pragmatic changes.
Is the event today? Does it have to do with? And I'm not sure. And I'm taking a leap here. Does it have to do with the minority report from LD 894?
That's exactly right. You know, the Labor Committee is not a case study in bipartisanship. It's one of the more partisan committees in the legislature, and it was clear that there was not going to be a bipartisan consensus emerging, and Republicans put forward on a bill to make these reasonable changes, 10 modest adjustments to the program that we think works for the business community and doesn't undermine the spirit of the law. So that bill is scheduled to be on the House calendar today. We'll also be looking at doing some amendments. Ultimately, I am concerned that if we don't get this right, this new paid family medical leave program, one of the most significant programs in 30 years in the state's labor history, that it's really going to be an additional anchor to the state's economy right when forecasts are saying that we're really going to be struggling in the next 2 years.
Can I boldly follow up and ask, what does the minority report? You said there are 10 things. What does give us this, again, 5 miles up looking down. If we pass the minority report of LD 894, what's it going to do?
So it clarifies this hardship provision that I just spoke to.
Yeah.
Allows employers to say, this is going to be a hardship for this business, and we need to develop a leave program that works for our business and works for the employee. It establishes 120 days. So if somebody starts their job, they are not eligible to start taking 12 weeks until they've been with that employer for 120 days. We have one clear example that I think within the spirit of the law was that employees and employers need to contribute to the paid family medical leave trust. 50% for employee, 50% for employer. And what we've had is some unions, right now state employees are not contributing. It's the general fund that's contributing for state employees because the unions have said, well, that's subject to collective bargaining. We'll discuss that later. And unfortunately, taxpayers are picking up that bill. This clarifies that says it will be 50%, 50% employee, employer. These are really clarifications of the law.
Yeah.
We certainly do think that Maine, you know, I just said we're having struggle of attracting population. We need to support families to have children in our state, but really these are the types of programs that would really ensure that the business community is not undermined by this new program.
GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Team, your home sold guaranteed realty. Find out what your home is worth online, instant on in the lights, at wolfingtonrealty.com.